physical abuse than actual physical infirmities. Emotional abuse is everywhere. You know, it's interesting, growing up, you never heard the term emotional abuse, very rarely. But how many know that when you're bringing up children or at work, when someone screams at you, that's abuse? And we've not always recognized people that are abusers and controllers. But I want to talk to you about how to get healed from that. We're going to look and find out what control really is. I believe all abuse is from the spirit of control. Trying to control someone else through emotion, rage, anger, intimidation, accusation, it's a control thing. But I want to find out about this. And I want to go to Luke because the Jesus I serve still heals the brokenhearted. Amen. And if you've been abused emotionally or sexually, you have been brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me. Everybody say sent me. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Interesting. Yes. After the preaching of the gospel is healing the brokenhearted, the abused. To preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He's not just talking about physically bruised, emotionally. They say by the time a person is 5 or 6 years old, 85% of their personality has been formed. Doesn't mean their brain is totally mature, but I'm just wondering during those crucial years how much control has been abused on a child to shape them. And sometimes because they've been hurt or abused, they hurt others. But let's just talk about this a minute. Where did control start? I'll tell you where it started. It started with Lucifer. He wanted to control heaven. Because see, control, which is witchcraft, is the same as rebellion. 1 Samuel tells us that. Witchcraft is as the sin of rebellion. That word witchcraft is about control. Lucifer wanted to control heaven. And when he did, the spirit of witchcraft and control came upon him. Once he made that decision, he goes, now if I want to control heaven, I've got to control some angels. Don't ever think, sir, ma'am, that control is a light issue. Because of control and witchcraft on Lucifer, he persuaded a third of the angels. Actually, he didn't persuade them, he controlled them. See, when you're under the spirit of witchcraft and control, that person is controlling you. Lucifer wanted to control God's creation. That's why he came to the garden. I'm going to control that in me. I'm going to control it by deceiving Eve so she's in sin. And because she's in sin, I can better control them. In fact, because they were in sin, it took one generation for him to control Cain to kill his brother. Control is one of the most destructive forces on the earth, and it's still alive today.
That's right.
Spirit of control has been in every generation. What do you think wars are about? Trying to control other people. John Newton, who was a captain of several slave ships, one night a storm came up. And he knew he was going to die. And he cried out to God. God saved him. He went back to England. He wrote Amazing Grace. He went back and became a freedom fighter against slavery. And he wrote a book about how horrific it was for those slaves to be on that ship in these little quarters for months. Because, see, never forget, control always wants to destroy. That God saved him. God used him to help bring freedom in Britain. That's why he said, I'm a wretch like me. See, many times people don't even know they're under the spirit of witchcraft and control. But let me give you a little secret. How people treat you, or how someone treats someone else, is a symptom they're under that spirit.
Amen.
If you and I treat somebody, no matter what race, no matter economic, if we treat them less than what Jesus would, we're a controller. Paul mentions control, witchcraft, and Galatians, that the flesh has to be careful because we want to control. Wives want to control their husbands. Husbands want to control their wives. We want to control people at work. We want to control this or that. And I have found out this. There's only one person in control, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we think for a moment that Lucifer, Satan now, is asleep, he is not asleep. He wants to control every nation, every city, every race, every child. Why? Because the end of control is to destroy. And see, that's why there's emotional abuse. Because someone has that spirit of control on them, and they use rage, yelling, and screaming, manipulation, and intimidation to get them to do what they want. Can't have any part of that. I won't hang around people that are control freaks or that. I won't do it. Listen, I pray with it. Don't come around. I don't need that spirit around me. It's not the spirit of Christ. You see, control is the opposite of the nature of God. God controls. God doesn't control us. Heaven and hell, blessing and cursing. You decide, life or death. People say, why does God send people to hell? He sends no one to hell. It's a choice. That's why he says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they've been sent? God sent us here to Petersburg.
Amen.
Could have been over there in Hawaii, but he sent us here.
That's right.
Amen. He knew my weakness for Hawaii. So I said, you there, son. How about this? Control is the opposite of love.
Amen.
Listen, people that have type A, double A personalities, if they're not surrendered to God, have got to watch this. Amen. Because with their drive and their goals and get this done and get this done and their work, sometimes they don't understand they put people in that category, and they're going to drive people the same way they drive the computer, and that's wrong and that's control. But many times, people will wake up after a couple of years and realize, I've been under a controlling thing. That person seems pleasant, but it's witchcraft. And those people lead, usually hurt, usually there's a major blowout.
Come on.
Because we won't stop trying to control people.
That's right.
And we're not even aware that we're mistreating them.
That's right.
Ignoring them. Talking about them. It's all the same spirit. And I'm going to be controversial. It is in many houses of God.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Control is the opposite of righteousness. It's not right to control someone. Two young people get married, don't even know they've got control issues. They get married, and after 3 months, they fight over everything. I've seen it happen, and people are still fighting after 30 years over nonsense. Why? Because you won't admit you got a control problem.
Come on.
Yeah. And see, you know what's really dangerous, Pastor Deb? Because if we don't get rid of that, or someone doesn't get rid of that, they think they're in the will of God. They think they're being led by the Spirit. But the reality is, God can't even lead them because they're in control.
That's right.
Even with God. And so we have very little fruit. We don't know where we're supposed to be. God can't promote us. Why? Because he won't. have to do with healing everything, because I'm convinced the spirit of control is in the world, and people carry that spirit. I'm not going to, he that joins himself to a harlot is one flesh.
That's right.
I don't hang around anybody that's control freak. I will not. I know immediately my spirit, if someone has that spirit, the Holy Spirit, and that person, they might look pleasant, they might go to church. Hey, see you later, I'm going to Dunkin'. Hello. I want to find out about this because, see, we're here as a church people to help people.
That's right.
And the devil has controlled the minds of men that drugs is okay. You don't have to get married to have sex. You can have babies without wedlock. You don't have to go. The devil is controlling, and we've got to wake up as the church and realize that in the midst of gross darkness, there is a light.
Yes.
How many churches have been split and different things happening because someone rose up and had a spirit of control and led people out of the church? Well, they're going to have to give an account to God, because God did the work. God brought the people, and if you took them out, you ain't staying living here now. See, God's coming to his church like Jesus came to the temple and getting all the stuff out that shouldn't be in there so that he can have a real house of prayer, a house of glory, a house of power. Come on, give God a praise, somebody. You know what? You should better than this guy.
Come on.
How does this thing work? The source of abuse is control. Three things that come with control. Rejection. Everybody's been rejected. Intimidation, which means to make you timid, not humble, timid, so you don't use your faith. And manipulation. Manipulation has to do with lies and deceit. Someone lying to you and stuff. And a lot of times people use flattery. Don't tell me I'm the best preacher you ever heard and you don't mean it.
True.
I don't want flattery. I don't like nobody flattering me. Now find something good.
Yeah.
You can find something good about me. What? That I like the Eagles. Well, amen. But don't use manipulation. I've seen people over the years, they try to get close to me and stuff. They might even like me, but they kind of go through this. Why? Because they know I can put them up in a position in church.
Mm.
That's true. Amen.
I'll say it again. I know Pastor Sanj has been there. God bless you. What a trooper. What a trooper. I so love this woman. So honor her. So I know the price she paid.
That's right.
It's not like selling something, but thank God for that. Anyway, I want to talk about this because this is not only for you, but it's for people who are being controlled. If we don't understand how control works, all we do is just give a little prayer, oh Lord, bless them. Well, they might not need that. They might need some counsel, or they might need you to, in the name of Jesus Christ, come off that person.
Right.
And if we don't understand it, we perish. The Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. Let's talk about it. I'm going to go to a real situation in the Bible and talk about this and see if we can extract some things to help us. Because I know the Lord Jesus wants this to be not just a Sunday church. He wants this to be a hospital where people can come and get the healing they need.
Amen.
See, y'all that know that some of you out there are doctors, and some of you out there are head nurses, and some of you out there are pediatricians in the spirit, and some of you out there are spiritual x-rays, and some of you know how to get the child. All of us are in this hospital to make sure God's honor is withheld in our city. Give them a break, somebody. First Kings 21. Now, this is the story here of Jezebel and her husband. Jezebel, we all know, symbolizes control and witchcraft. She was not an Israelite. She was a Sodomite, a descendant of the Sodomites over there, and they renamed their name. But Ahab, her husband, was an Israelite. First of all, he was not supposed to marry someone that wasn't in Israel. Listen, you don't want know you get delivered or hit the road, Jack, because you won't change it once you're married. Verse Kings 21:1, and it came to pass after these things that Nabal the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, give me the vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee a better vineyard than it, or it seems good to you. I'll give you the worth of it in money. Naboth, who was an Israelite, said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid down upon his bed and turned away his face and wouldn't eat no bread. Here we go. Write things down. Get your mind clear. Don't ever forget this truth. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, do you now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelites. Oh, really? Boy, that sounds like in Isaiah 14, the five I wills of Satan. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High God. I will take that which is God's away from you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And think of all the people that are suffering. They don't have God's inheritance because a spirit of control and witchcraft has stolen it from them.
Yeah.
But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is your spirit so sad that you eat no bread? He said, because I spoke unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and I said unto him, give me the vineyard for some money, or else, if it please thee, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee the vineyard. Let me tell you about why witchcraft and control is to destroy and destroy mankind. So she wrote letters, the spirit of witchcraft wrote letters in Ahab's name. First of all, liar, liar, pants on fire. Anybody that wrote in the king's name, including the queen, would be put to death.
That's right.
The devil is a liar.
Amen.
He is a deceiver. And sealed it with his seal. My. What the spirit of control will do. Sent the letters unto elders and to the nobles which are in the city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote him a letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. Now get this. And set two men, sons of Belial. Set two demons before him to lie, witness against him. He blasphemed God and the king. Tell everybody. Big party. Set him up on high where we see him. And these little demons coming, sons of Eli, they're going to lie, say he blasphemed God.
Yep.
And then carry him out and stone him that he might die. The thief cometh. But the rob steals. Give you a few things before it takes you in control. It takes that which was not given. I said it takes that which was not given. And it wasn't given that vineyard. Control takes something God hasn't given you yet. Don't ever try to take something or a position, whatever, and try to use your influence to hurt somebody's reputation. Because you want ambition, you want to get something. See, that's the spirit of witchcraft, and God will bring it to naught and cancel what he's going to do for you. Don't ever try. Let God do it. I've seen too much. I can't gets it by you. They do. Control takes that which is not given. Control seeks to stop the influence of another. Let me just give you some down-to-earth chicken soup advice. As a believer, you and I have no right to criticize another believer.
That's right. Yeah.
We have no right to talk about another believer. We have no right to talk about anybody. And when we do, we're giving into that spirit. Jesus said, listen, don't set yourself up as a judge.
That's right.
It seeks to stop the influence of another. Control opens the door with demons, the sons of Eli. Listen, we have a gate. The serpent doesn't get through the stone wall unless we allow it. We can open the gate to the devil through our mouth. Listen, one word of control or witchcraft, James says, it's a spark, but it sets something on fire.
That's good.
And my opinion is, the body of Christ around the world, we all need to repent for things we ought not have said. Simply because we want to control how they believe or what they think, or if they don't believe our doctrine, or they don't dress right, or whatever. We all need a big repentance, because I know we've opened the door to controlling spirits in churches, to witchcraft in churches. People don't even want to come back because they feel all the politics things going on. That's not the spirit of God. That God's going to have a people that realize, yes, I'm not going to mess with this spirit. I'm going to put it behind me and get before God and be humble before him. Give God a praise, somebody here.
Hallelujah.
Did you come out here and preach today? Or is it poetry? Opens the door. Now, I love this part. I want to show you that this woman who was being possessed with the spirit of control, witchcraft, actually, listen, that spirit affected Elijah. Now, you might think, I'm not, doesn't affect me better than Elijah.
Yeah.
When you get around someone who has a controlling spirit, you're not going to discern it right away.
That's right.
Okay.
First Kings 19:1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I not make thy life as life is one of those by tomorrow but this time. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what do you do here, Elijah? And he says, well, I'm the only one left.
Your tomorrow's tomorrow.
You know what's amazing about this? Just a few days before, Elijah had assembled 400 prophets of Baal. And he called fire down. And here he is running from a witch.
Sure.
There are no good witches, by the way.
Come on.
People are deceived. It shows on.
Man.
Here he is, he's worn out. I think I'd be worn out too if I had to pray seven times the fire come down and then pray for the rain to come. Yeah. You get worn out. But this one, Lord Jesus, this spirit caused him want to die. Give up. Don't ever forget, friend, the spirit of control and witchcraft comes after the prophets first.
Right. ahead.
Right.
So they shut up. They get out of the ministry and go back to something else.
Right.
They go, you know what? What's the point? What's the purpose? But you know, God cares for his prophets.
Amen.
Right. He said, listen, some bread and some sleep. Next day, said the same thing to him. Said, I understand, Elijah, you're not done. I want you to anoint Jehu. By the way, this is what I love about this. Your life counts so much, Elijah, that you don't know this, but one day you're going to stand with Moses and encourage my son. That all that you've been through and all the hell and all the things that people can do that are under a controlling spirit, leave and criticize and throw stones at people that love them. My goodness, who can figure that out? But he said, Elijah, you count, man. In fact, you've been through so much stuff. You've not run. You've not quit. Nobody bought your book. Nobody came and watched your show. Nobody even knew you lived on the side over there on a little hill. No one appreciated you. But you know what, Elijah? I'm going to trust you now. Yeah. And there's a young man that's plowing a field with 12 yokes of oxen. Elijah, I'm going to trust you to go, and I want you to mentor him, and I want the anointing on you to go to him, because he's going to do twice as many miracles. And that's the child of the church, that we keep on going despite hell. We raise up another generation that's going to do more for God than us. Give him a praise.
Hallelujah.
See, control puts you in a cave of fear. We need each other, David.
Amen.
We need each other. I know some of you have been in controlling relationships. I know there's people here that people screamed at you. And they thought, well, they're just having a bad day. No, that's control. Oh, yeah. People here have been shoved into marriage. You better be. Thank God for salvation. The old things have passed away. But you know, I realize this. Scars, when you get a scar, it's twice as sensitive if you've not gotten one. And people have scars from abuse, sexual abuse, marital abuse, church abuse. Because we simply won't treat each other with respect.
Amen.
We simply won't treat people someone special. There's no place for politics or socialism or a social atmosphere in the church. That's another kingdom. Outside, we do what we want. Who you vote for, we don't vote. It has nothing to do with how I treat somebody. Got quiet. But I want you to know that there are so many people in churches across America that have decided that who I vote for is more important than coming together in the unity of Christ. And that's wrong. Because it's all passing away. It's all temporary. I'm not going to override you, who you vote, what you do, what kind of car you wear. I'm not going to control you.
Amen.
This is the kingdom of God.
Okay, let's go.
That's not the song's altar call.
Turn it.
Just stand up with me.
No, he wants to do an altar call.
Stand up with me. Just close your eyes for a moment. We praise you, Jesus. I need this as a mic. Thank you. We give you praise right now.
Put it back on. Sit on.
We magnify you. This altar call, that's not it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Come on, just begin to praise him. We don't need any music. We're going to take communion in just a minute.
Glory.
We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You turn it up, please. Jesus. Jesus. There is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus.
No, not the one.
Like a fragrance after the rain. Come on, sing with me and tell him. Well, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something. Come on, everybody, lift your hands to him. Give that sacrifice. Turn it up just a little bit of music. Let's lift our voice this morning. We'll see Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.